the laws of tzedakah and meiser in the Torah. So where is there an allusion to either the mitzvah of giving tzedakah or meiser, a tenth of your
field,
tzedakah, of your money or field, in the Torah?
So I guess the laws of meiser aren't an allusion?
Exactly.
So that is the...
A mnemonic, in a smachta. Who gave meiser?
We're just like running through to math right now.
Okay, so let's start. The truth is, there's a lot of characters in Chumash, in the biblical stories, who act with charity and kindness. The first one, which comes from
Chesed.
Chesed, but they're related. Because tzedakah is giving to others, right? So who's the first that pops into your head who gives tzedakah towards others?
I think Yosef.
Yosef certainly gives tzedakah. He supports all of Egypt. Very good. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Moshe.
Moshe, for sure. Saves the Jewish people. Start earlier. Let's go chronologically.
Abraham would take people into his tent.
Abraham, Achnas Atorchim. Right? That's like a classic, for sure. Abraham's man of chesed. I could even say before, when we were talking about Midrash and Noah and how he saved the world and gave to all the animals food, the Midrash talks about that kindness. Those are all examples of chesed. Speaking of Avraham,
Adam for putting up with Eve.
Yeah, I guess so. Or God for creating. Truth is, according to the Kabbalah, it all starts with God. Not in the text, but why did Hashem create the world?
To bring down his good.
As an act of love, as an act of tzedakah, as an act of kindness. Exactly. So really, it all begins with the Kadosh Baruch Hu creating the world. The Midrash talks about how Hashem gave Chava her wedding dress. Like, you know, like God gave, created man. So that's act of kindness. But in terms of Avraham, let's go back to him. Not only does he do kindness, many acts of kindness, his mission in life is kindness. We see that by the story of Sodom, when he acted with kindness.
Avraham is represented by
Chesed and Mishpat, but his mission as a person, as leader of the Jewish people, is to do tzedakah u'mishpat. So when we talk about this mitzvah of giving tzedakah, it's not just another mitzvah. It's probably one of the most central mitzvahs of the entire Torah, our attitude towards tzedakah. And that's why I didn't bring it here, but the Gemara says that tzedakah is shkula k'neged kol mitzvahs. Giving is the essence of all the mitzvahs, so it's equal to all the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs have to be done with the spirit of giving and love.
But then what was the source?
But in terms of a meiser itself. So the story is with Yaakov, by the ladder, by the vision that he has, the ladder up to heaven, Pasuk in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Bet says, God, if you protect me, I'm going to give tithe. I'm going to give one-tenth. Now, of course, it's not clear that this is actually talking about giving a tenth of money to tzedakah. In fact, it would seem that he's talking about perhaps animals, and he's vowing to give it. We don't actually see when he gives it, which is also fascinating. And so, if we're going to quote this would be more of an allusion, a mnemonic, and a smachta for the concept of meiser. Although, I do believe that in the ancient world, it was a normal thing to give a certain either 10 or 20% of your money towards God, towards korbanot, towards charity. And what story do we see that? Where even non-Jewish cultures had this concept of giving money towards the priests or...
Probably something to do with korbanot.
So in Egypt, Yosef saves away 20%. And there's talk over there about how certain priests were exempt from paying taxes because they're the priests. And there's this concept already of setting aside money for the treasury, for the king. And so it makes a lot of sense they would also set aside money for their gods. But then that's just speculation. I don't know. But anyway, so this is an allusion to the concept of Maitre. Okay? What other pasuk do we have, which is obviously far more explicit, not in terms of the Maitre, but in terms of our commandment to give tzedakah? So look at the next source. We're going to read it very nuanced, very well. Because when you learn the pasukim well, you see the attitude that the Torah has. Vayikra chafei pasuk lamed hei. Chiyamuch achicha. When your brother is of low spirit, Umata yado imach, and he becomes very low. Vechazakta bo, you should strengthen him. Ger betoshav v'chayimach, the sojourner, and also the ger, the outsider, they also have to be supported for tzedakah, and the one who lives with you. So, what is this pasuk telling us? What is the mitzvah here?
Help a brother out.
Help a brother out. Is it simply to give a guy 10 shekel when he asks him for money?
No, it's help, because there's an idea that we follow in when we give like tzedakah in the community, for example. So, quality of life, let's just say I was like a big businessman, like I used to wear like very fancy shirts, dress very nice, drive a nice car, and then I'll say I lose all my money.
Right.
They would tzedakah for me would actually be to get me back to where I used to be.
Sure. Exactly. We have to support a person from what
strengthen me. And
from
me
what
is relative to.
Exactly. Exactly. Obviously, there's a certain degree that we have to, you know, put certain.
You're not going to pay for my yacht, but
right.
Certain. You're going to give me more money than you would give like homeless Joe on the street.
Exactly, and that's an idea found in the Gemara, and that's a codified halacha. Exactly, that we need to support someone. Very good, and it may be alluded to in this pasuk. I think there's at least two more ideas alluded to in this pasuk. Vechzato mi'bo means it's not just to give him money, but to get him started, to strengthen him.
Give him the position.
Don't give him the fish. Give him the
rod.
Right, give him the rod. Teach him how to fish.
That's why the tzedakah is to
get someone a job. Exactly.
Beside you. It's right. To make him a partner in business.
Exactly. A story like that with Mordechai Leon. That somebody needed the money and he said, let's start a business together. I'll do half, you'll do half. And of course, it flourished because they had the name of Mordechai Eliyahu, chief rabbi of Israel, big rabbi at that time. And then when the guy said, okay, I'll pay your half, Mordechai Eliyahu said, no, it's fine. In other words, he didn't just give him money, he wanted to get him on his feet to get him going, to strengthen him. And there are many stories like that, like he didn't want to embarrass people. So Mordechai Eliyahu knew that there was a person who needed the food. And so instead of giving him food, he told the guy that there's a lot of extra food, and since you're a faithful person, go give it to poor people in your community. Mm-hmm. So he did, but he also took for himself. But this way he wasn't embarrassed. They do it in a way which takes people's feelings into account. So that's the Rambam is famously quoted about talking about all the different the different ways of giving tzedakah, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to the Rambam. People don't realize it's not really the Rambam, it's Hashem in the Torah. And the Torah says you should strengthen a person. Okay? And that's actually my dream one day. Hopefully, that's what Hashem. I don't want to just have a soup kitchen. I want to have a soup kitchen which helps people get jobs and really support.
Soup kitchens that are staffed by the homeless people.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. Give them their dignity back. Far more important than the food. So hopefully, one day, I get one of my rich students to start a soup kitchen and I'll run it. That's what Hashem. Anyways, okay. One more idea in this pasuk, ger v'toshav. Now, v'toshav, the one who lives with you, certainly has to support him. Why does it need to point out the ger?
Because they're the stranger. You don't know them.
They're the outsider, right? And they're the isolated one. They're the lowest strata of society, are always the ones struggling. Therefore, we have to go out and stick up for them, as the Torah says. Over and over and over, you were gerim if you care for them. Okay? It's also not just true in money, in, say, sports. The new guy comes to play basketball. He's waiting on the side. He doesn't realize that you have to like raise your hand to get in. So he's just waiting there. So a lot of, you know, we see even a lot of people take advantage of the new guy. The Torah's attitude is, no, you got to strengthen the new guy. You got to include him in. Let him play. Let him in.
And that from yesterday. Everyone was standing around at bus stops. Like, tons of people standing around at bus stops. And then you kind of walk by and some old lady's like, guys, like, you know the bus doesn't come here anymore, right? Like, you see there's a massive parade there and a blockade right there. Where's the bus coming in? And everyone's like, oh.
Right.
So unless you take them with you, they're never going to get anywhere.
Exactly. We're lost souls. One last thought is that ger here might mean like the outsider, the Jewish outsider. It could mean it means a non-Jewish ger, like the who dwells
amongst
the Jewish
people.
And indeed, the Rambam Paskins, it's a whole different here, but the Rambam Paskins that we do support the ger, especially in Eretz Yisrael, we have a mitzvah to support a ger who lives amongst us, of course, assuming that he accepts Jewish sovereignty
and dangerous to us.
And dangerous to us. And
but that's so you kind of used the word tzedakah and chesed interchangeably earlier.
So we're going to go back to tachlis. How much money should I give to poor people? Tzedakah. But now I'm just giving kind of a general introduction. Obviously, they're intertwined concepts.
But like, is chesed considered tzedakah?
Chesed is a form of tzedakah. Absolutely. Because you're giving your time. Like someone just recently offered a service that they do. That's their job. They told me they'll give me the concept of Moshe Feinstein. You should also give 10% of your time to people just for free, and whatever you're talented at. So let's say you're a musician, 10% to help the world, or you're a therapist, one client I'll do for free, something like that, or you're a lawyer, whatever. Like use your talents for good, not just about money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Great. Toif. Now, there's another pasuk. There's many pasukim. There's another pasuk that I think if we read it carefully. And by the way, just on the issue of giving tzedakah to non-Jews, there's a minimalist way of saying it, which is derachet, meaning like, well, Ava, if we don't give them tzedakah, they're not going to give us tzedakah, and they're going to hate us, and they're going to come to kill us, so support the non-Jews. That's one way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it that I've seen in Sfarim, which is, no, nothing about that. Derechei derechei noam, like the ways of the Torah are peace, and like we should be like a.
But is there like a hierarchy?
There is a hierarchy, and we're going to learn about it soon about who gets first, and there are priorities. But in general, especially because we live in a very affluent society, and we can afford to give to a lot of causes, we're not starving for the most part. We can afford to get a nice coffee and a rebar, which means that we're not.
What's the point of? This is just a practice. What's the point of spreading the wealth opposed to like picking one and like devoting to it?
No, I agree. Absolutely. I'm not saying. I mean, I think there are advantages of both. Like,
because like if I don't know, Magen David Adom needs money, but also housing in Mea Shearim needs money, and I want to give to both.
Yeah, I think it depends on the person, depends on the situation. I agree with you on a personal level. I give most of my miser to one person in particular. Doesn't mean I don't a little bit spread it out and give to here and there, but like
there's your friends of the old city who are like on the streets.
Right, yeah, I give a little bit to all the different causes because I like feeling like I'm helping the world in a little bit different ways and connected to different causes. Kevin, who you met, Kevin was involved in this organization which gives like $1 a day to a different like tzedakah organization every day. Something like that. Nice. But at the end of the day, this guy I know really needs the money, really will use it for good, and really it's not his fault. So like in that situation, like instead of giving to everyone, but everyone has to know there. Hopefully at the end we'll talk about how do you prioritize. But there is definitely a subjective element in it.
Well, we got like 10 more sheets to go.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Guys, show up. Okay. Tov. So the next pasuk says like this. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I keep. I didn't finish. The point is, there's another way of looking at it. That, no, the Torah wants derech adar chenom. The Torah wants to support non-Jews. Of course, at the end of the day, I might have to prioritize a Jew over a non-Jew if, you know, a Jew really needs help. But it doesn't mean that, in general, our attitude should not be one of wanting to support and give for the sake of giving. For the sake of giving out of love. Because we're all not brothers, cousins, but we're all connected and we want to be givers, just like Hashem is a giver. Personally, I like that way of looking at it better than just,
oh, we'll give them stuff so they don't kill us.
Okay. Next pasuk. Dvarim tet vav zayin and ches. Hiyeva chayav yun me'achar achicha ve'achar shariacha ve'artzecha shashem al kecha noten lecha lo ta'amet vavcha v'lo tikpat lecha me'achicha yavion. Don't harden your heart and don't clench your fist from your brother who is poor. Okay? That's what the pasuk says. Don't harden your heart. Don't be like that. Rather, open up your hands. Give him what he needs. Okay? So now in this pasuk, you see, it's so beautiful. You learn it just like on a Rashi level. It seems like, why is this word necessary? Why is that word necessary? Why did they have yom twice? But if you learn it on a heart level, what's this pasuk telling us? It's not just good enough to give tzedakah. You gotta open up your heart, man. You gotta patoach tiftach. You gotta really like give with love on a Shlomo level. Better to give a guy 5 shekel with a hug and a conversation and love than to give him 50 shekel but do it with anger and get out of my face. That's what this pasuk is saying. It's not just about him, it's about me. I give so that my heart can be opened up to be a better person, to be a giver. He's your brother. He's your avion, man. You gotta love, feel the love. Open up your hearts. You get it? Makes sense? And that's not a reformable word. That's in the pasuk.
It's funny, because one time, a couple weeks ago, I went out. You know what busking is? So busking is when like you play guitar and like sing for money. So I did it on Yavo Street. I was kind of like, hey, you know what? I just spent 50 shekels on a haircut. I feel kind of dumb because like it was like normally I do it for John and Free. I'm gonna go make my money back. So I go, and like there were some people who like were like clearly like more wealthy people who were kind of like tossing like a 5 shekel or whatever, and like they were kind of like give more. But like the people like you'd appreciate was like the guy who would stop by like dropping a few agurot and like have a conversation, like talk about music, like where you're from, what yeshiva do you go to, like all that fun stuff.
Awesome. I tried that once. You guys ready? Or is anyone around? I tried it once, and I said, "Play so that I can afford guitar lessons." And nobody really came. It was fun. It could be embarrassed. Okay, next we run through these Gemara sources.
Okay.
Mishlei. Mishlei says.
Is that Mishlei a commentator?
No, Mishlei is Proverbs. It's a book written by Solomon. It's one of the books of Tanakh.
I didn't know what it was in Hebrew.
Now you know. So Shlomo Melech says, "Utzdaka tatzil mimavis." Giving tzedakah saves you from death. So here we learn the famous idea that we say every day, every year on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur time. "Utshuva tefila utzdaka ma'aviren et roa hagzira." Through doing tshuva and giving towards others, God will choose to spare our lives.
That's why everyone gives tzedakah on Yom Kippur.
Yeah. By giving to others, God will choose to give to you. And so if you're in a tough situation,
but
give.
But that's always,
give.
Though.
Yeah. You should always give tzedakah, but in particular.
It's just more reiterated, I guess.
Yeah, in particular.
Because it's the day of judgment.
Yeah, and we were trying to change our destiny, so we
it's the final push.
Yeah, but we get this from this pasuk. In
I don't get why we don't start like doing Yom Kippur like months in advance, like a month at least in advance.
Sfaradim do. They start saying slichas all in the beginning of
one month.
Yeah. And Rosh Hashanah didn't do
it. But like, I don't know, I feel like what would really be beneficial, maybe everyone already went to Shiva that already had it, but like it'd be awesome if we, like I totally missed it, but like it'd be awesome if we totally had like some guy before Slichu get up there and like give you Musser and it's just like,
wait,
don't sit there on Yom Kippur and daven for 12 straight hours and cry your soul out. Start earlier.
Right. Well, because in the Musar schools,
it's like you're just like sitting there by like an open door, and then like as the door like that's kind of like, as like the door starts to close, you're kind of like, like,
starter. Yeah, that's what Elul used to be in Musar schools. They used to just hear the word Elul and start faint. Yeah, that was all Elul was preparing. That's what Slichos is really all about, to prepare. Start preparing. Mm-hmm. Okay, Gemara Baba Basra. I'm gonna do it outside, save some time.
Yep.
Basically says that if someone's machzir l'ptachim, he's asking for tzedakah in his kaking law. We don't give him money. So Gemara says, is that really true? Gemara says, no, we don't give him a lot of money. So here we learn the concept, and on the one hand, if somebody knocks on your door, you have to give him a little bit of money. But on the other hand, we don't give him a lot of money. Now why is that? Why shouldn't we give him a lot of money?
Someone who's asking for money doesn't need a lot of money?
Because we don't know. Generally, people are walking in, are knocking at the door. We don't know if he's a legitimate poor person, and therefore, we're going to rather give our money towards causes that we believe in, that we know already that the gabbai has done research to know that it's really going to go to the right places. And we don't know if this guy's going to misuse the money and spend it. Plus, he might become dependent on me, and he's not even going to try to get a job. But at the same time, what about that other pasuk which said, like, well, open up your heart, man. Like, we need a gift to this person.
Well, you have to be smart.
So therefore, be smart, but give. Be smart, but have a heart. Understand the balance?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Be smart, but have a heart. On the other hand, I would say, when someone comes to you on the street, I think it's a very individual situation. if you see with your eyes that this guy is an addict and he's going to use the money for cigarettes and drugs, I don't think there's a value in giving him money in that situation. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says you don't get schar for that type of situation, for giving to someone that you're supporting his bad habits. On the other hand, sometimes you see people who are nebuch and like they just had a breakdown. They're just not functioning. And or I don't know what the situation is. In that situation, I would give. I wouldn't give a tremendous amount of money, but I would give something with love. Better a shekel with love or two shekel with love than nothing. Just to open up your hearts. Okay. Now, a few more Gemaras. The next Gemara in Tainis has a fascinating principle. It says, Aser te'asher, asher b'shvil shiti te'asher. And the story of Yochanan asked the children, Asher te'asher, really? What did you learn today? Oh, give ma'aser, give tzedakah, a tenth of your money, and you'll get rich. And not only that, Amar le nisi. You can test God. You can test God and say, God, I'm going to give this money, and God's going to pay it back. The Gemara says, can we test the Baruch Hu? But it says you can't test God. And Tzedakah you can. Amar le achi, Amar Rav Oshia, chut mizu shenemar, aviyu et kol hamaser el beit ha'otzer. Lo aftach lachem et erubot Hashemayim, to quote this pasuk from Malachi, where it specifically says, this is the one God where you're allowed to test God. And indeed, the Ramah brings, that's how he paskins. You're allowed to tell God, God, I'm going to give this tzedakah, and I want to see that it comes back into my bank account. And in case you think that this is just a spiritual concept, no, he'll give you spiritual riches, you'll be happy. All that's true too. But no, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Why are... Hey, Julian. Yes. Are you guys here?
I'm here.
In case you thought that was just a cute idea, it says that Ashirim Shaber Tzitzal says the Gemara in Shabbos Kufitas. Why are they rich? Because they give money. Because they give tzedakah, they are rich.
And there's also, if you're a spectacle? That's the wrong word for you. But if you're the kind of person who like doesn't view things with like positivity and stuff like that, because like the way I understood it is like, I give $20 to tzedakah, the next day, my car tire doesn't explode. Like, it would have.
Are you saying if you're going to be cynical, critical, then you'll...
If you're going to be cynical, like...
You won't see this.
You're not going to see, I put money in, then you're going to be like... Then you're just going to be like, oh, I earned that money.
Sure.
You won't, like, you won't think, like... Like, next time you go to work and your boss gives you a raise out of the blue, you'll be like, I deserve that raise.
Right, like the funny story where the guy's asking, God, give me a parking spot,
I gave you the boat, I gave you a plane.
No, and then he gets a parking spot, and then he says, oh, never mind, got it, fuck it. And you know that story? Whatever, same idea. Yes, it all depends. Like, I can't prove this. There's no way I can prove to you that God gave you that, the money. But, okay, you know, this is our attitude. For me personally, I find this. When I forget the miser, I lose my wallet or whatever. And when I give a lot, I feel like it comes back. I can't prove that, but that's what we believe. Certainly, we believe that giving stuff makes you happier, and people who give are much happier psychologically. And certainly believe in heavenly, in the next world, you get... When you get to heaven,
it's powerful. My phone was missing for a month. I gave some tzedakah, popped the next day.
Yeah, it was amazing. I absolutely believe in this. I also think that you'll see it. The more you believe, the more you'll see it in your own life. It's like dependent on your own, on your perspective. Okay, one last Gemara.
Shabbat.
Ketubos.
What about Shabbat?
I did that. I just ran through the second Gemara is a tag team to the Gemara in Tainis, saying that when you give Meiser, you will see the riches in your own life. Gemara and Shabbos talking about why the people in Eretz Yisrael were rich because they gave money for Zidane. Okay? In Babel, they learned Torah, and that's why they were so going to be rich. It just shows in Eretz Yisrael, it's about physically contributing. And in Golis, it's about learning Torah.
That's such a backwards concept, but it's so cool.
Fantastic. Okay, final Gemara. Gemara in Ketubah says, Hambavez al yavazez yoter michomesh. Want to give tzedakah? Should not give more than 20%. 20% is the maximum. Okay? Why is that? Because you're going to be poor and you're going to need, you're going to give all your money away and you're going to need tzedakah. Therefore, don't be overly giving. Okay? it's hard for me to say that as a Rav Shlomo Yid, because Rav Shlomo didn't really live his life that way, but he's an exception. For all the rest of us, 20%. Now, I have a big...
For Rav Shlomo, the world kind of kept on providing for him.
Though. Right, he also, you could consider him a rich, but he was an exception. He gave away all his money, and that was just his essence. But, in general, we have to have Gvula, just gives your family, right? But what about if you're a millionaire? What if you're Bill Gates? Can you give $5 billion away and still have $5 billion in the bank? What do you think?
Percentage-wise. Oh, wait, no. At that point, it's not, actually, I think. At that point, I'm pretty sure standard of living kind of goes out the window.
Exactly, because what does it say?
Like, if I win the lottery and I get $20 million...
I'll be okay.
I could give away $19 million and be totally fine.
In my opinion, and I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said something similar.
But doesn't that go against the quality of living thing, then?
You're happy with $1 million and you don't need $20 million, then give it away. I think, isn't the essence of a Jew is tzedakah and mishpat, to keep $19 million or $18 million for yourself in luxury and to only give $2 million away would be a ridiculous misunderstanding of what the Torah is about. There are poskim who say 20% maximum mizel, but I don't think that makes sense. To me, it makes much more sense.
Okay. Are there stories of like Jews winning these lotteries and like giving away?
So the Rambam says like this. Aleph, mitzvah ta'asa li'tein tzedakah la'aniyim, masha ra'u la'ani, to give to a poor person according to what that poor person deserves.
Deserves or needs?
What he needs, what's fitting. Like you were saying, Ilan, if he needs, you know, a rich person who got poor needs more than a poor person. And if you're living in, in Zimbabwe, your standards of living are going to be a lot less than if you're from Los Angeles. But you got to help the person out according to what the basic needs are of that society. Make sense?
Yeah.
Not more, not above, not, I mean, if he's rich, we may go a little bit more, but use your seichel. Imay da yad hanoten maseget, shenemar, patoch tiftach ed yadcha, open up your heart for that person. If you can give him, give him. Shenemar, vechzachta bo, and as it says, and you should strengthen him, like we learned in the pasuk. Bet. If you see a poor person and you look the other way, you're over on a veira. If you didn't give that person tzedakah, you have transgressed. It's not just a good deed, a mitzvah. You have an obligation to give a poor person who asks you.
It's seer.
What if you don't know if they're poor?
That's the other thing.
But you said,
thank God for the crooks and the cheaters and the drug addicts. Because if not for them, then all of us would be sinners. Every time a Jew would ask us for tzedakah, we'd be obligated to give to him and we'd be sinning. But because there are people that we know are crooks and using it for all sorts of bad causes, we have a heter to not give, perhaps. But if you knew that this is a kosher yid, you would have an obligation to give him. Maybe not all your money, but something. 10 and a shekel, something, right?
Who's heter?
So where is that heter? Modern day rabbis. I read about it. It comes from the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tes Zayin Amid Bes, I believe, which says, I didn't bring it, but brought down Pnei Lacha, that a person who gives money to a person that's not ra'uilo, that's going to use it for bad causes, you don't get ein schar mitzvah biyado. You don't get tzchar for that mitzvah. Because you're supporting his bad habits. And there's only a limited amount of tzedakah in the world. Give it to good causes.
What was that about? I'm sorry.
Baba Kamadav Taz Zayin Amid Bet, I believe. Okay? And it's brought down in Panini Halacha. Many of these sources are quoted by the Panini Halacha. If you want to review this year. Okay? Seder? Fine. So...
Did you see a JPS thing here recently?
And that was, by the way, Rosh Shlomo Shita. Anyone asked, he always gave. He said, I'd rather be machmir and not chas v'shalom once have a Jew who's disappointed by me than, okay, I'll give some yidin who cheat me or take some money. Better that I shouldn't cheat. That no one should be disappointed. Julian's maybe in that camp more. It depends on my mood.
Last night, there was this woman who me and Alan helped to get into a cab, and she was like, having a lot of trouble. And after she came up to me, she asked for money. And I gave her, just like without thinking, because that's what I normally do. But then I was talking to Alan, I was like, you know, she's taking a cab. Like, I feel like you shouldn't get. And I was like, you know, I don't know how to feel about
that. For me, my policy, the ideal is to give food.
Don't give money.
Or even give money, but not a lot of money. Give a little bit, a half a shekel, or whatever.
Like a song and dance.
Give a song and a dance. Honestly, that's so much more important.
Give hope. I love that. That was really funny.
When did I say that?
You like, there was like a poor man, you didn't have any money, so you were like, put some hope in there.
Yeah.
You got really upset, I think. I think he had to beat you up or something like that.
When we had that sheer after your fatigue opinion, and the guy comes over and he's like, Tadaka, you're like, I don't have any money, but I have a dance. Shoot up and we start dancing them. And like, at first he's like, like
within about
38 seconds, he was pretty into it.
Yeah. No, it's the essence of life. It's like with Yisrael, I can give him a half hour, but if I do it with like I'm trying to get out of there, he feels it. And same thing with my wife. Sometimes like I'll wash the dishes with love, and even if it's like 3 dishes, it's more valuable than if I did 50 dishes, but like I was in a grumpy mood. It's all about being happy.
It's all about the plastic dishes.
It's all about being happy. Seder. Okay. Gimel. Rambam. Lefi ma shechaser ani ata mituva litein lo. Whatever he needs, that's what you need to give him. If he doesn't have clothing, cover him. If he doesn't have vessels of his house, you should buy it for him. If he doesn't have a wife, get him a wife. Get the man a wife.
So we should get our measurements.
By the way, yes. By the way, that's actually what me and my wife are doing tonight.
What?
We were trying to think, what should we do to celebrate my birthday? Because
get someone married.
That's why I'm not doing Mishmar. I'm hanging out with my wife. So we're trying to think of chesed. We're like, well, we go to the hospital, because I love doing chesed. But my wife's sick, so that's not a good idea. And we're like, well, maybe we should go watch a movie. I'm like, I don't really like watching movies.
You can walk around.
Should we go to a fancy restaurant? I'm like, I don't really like going to a fancy. I'd rather just eat salad leftovers. We're like, what do I like? We like chesed, but what chesed? We're like, oh, let's make shidduch. That you can do from wherever you are. So we're going to go take a walk, and then go to the park, throw around the frisbee, and then brainstorm a shidduch.
You like frisbees?
Yeah, we have cute games. She throws it and I run around.
Basically.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's my
We're really good at it. We have to get like 100 throws.
You know what's a fun chesed?
Go ahead.
Buy like, you know, it's like the bag of like 100 taffies from like the classic like Swedish Francis Roll taffies?
Yeah.
Just get a bag of those.
Throw them out.
Just like walk around like the middle. Just like, or what we did on Mazda, we stood at the top of an escalator. And as soon as everyone told me, just like, here you go.
So I brought that for you guys yesterday to give out at the Rico de Galin special lollipops. Then I forgot it. So they're at home, but I'll give it to you for Shavuos.
It's always fun.
Elon, if you ever want to do that, I'll go buy them and do
it. It's great. Except that now that I'm a sugar, anti-sugar addict, I feel bad giving people sugar.
But apples. But
apples, exactly.
But one that's like a little, it's the idea, not the sugar.
It's all good.
What's makes people happy?
Okay. Okay. By the way, all interesting halacha. One of the only times you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah is to do what? To sell. Get someone married. Sell a Sefer Torah. You could sell a Sefer Torah to bring 20,000 shekel to give someone, to get someone married and prove revu. Real halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. It's crazy. And the Gemara. Okay. V'imayita isha masinoto isha. And if she's a woman, get her married to a man. Afila yadarka shazat anilir koval sus ve'evit ratzafanav. Oh. The Gemara that Elon quoted before, even if this person would run, would have a horse run before him, and he's a poor person now that lost his money, we buy him a horse to ride upon, and a slave to run before him. Whatever he's missing.
This is
Dalet?
Or is this
still Gimel?
I'm in
Gimel.
So you can sell the Torah and...
And then he's talking about a person who was rich and now he lost his money. You have to give him what he needs. Day machzero is a pasuk.
I don't get it. Because, what if you could, provide, 10 different people with the amount of money you could do to take
care of? For sure, you're right. I hear it. And Bedini Lacha talks exactly about that dilemma.
Everyone has different kinds of... That's not a garbage.
I think there has to be a certain degree of seichel involved. Meaning... Not this... there's a difference between buying someone a Porsche and buying him... A higher level car.
No, but there's different.
Do you pass the express to extremes? It seems like
no, but
he's always going to be that poor person.
I know, but when you discuss this, then there's all the as in, do I give money to education or do I give money to feed the starving? Because if I don't feed the starving, then what's the point of education if they're
right?
What education?
In other words, nowadays we have access to everything. That
what's worth of feed the starving if you don't give them education.
You're right.
Give them teach them how to fish.
I think the main principle that we're supposed to learn from this is that psychology matters. It's not just an Indian of money. It's a matter of helping a person feel psychologically happy.
Outreach isn't about outreach.
In terms of the details of how you appropriate your specific money, we'll have to talk about that. Okay. Now, at the same time, you have to make him, get him to a basic level, but you don't have to make him rich. You don't have to go crazy to find the balance. Okay, next halach, halach idalit. Yatam sheba la'asiyo isha, sochrin lo bayit u'matim lo mita v'kokli tav shmisho v'achach masin lo isha. So if there's an orphan, we take care of him, we rent him a house, we give him a bed, vessels, and then we get them married. Orphans, we go out of our way to look out for them. There's a specific mitzvah for the ger and the yosam. Hey, ba ha'ani v'sha'al de machsaro. A poor person comes and asks for money. But you don't have enough money to support him. Noten lo k'fi asagad yado. Give him as much as you can. V'kama ad chamishit nechasav. Until a fifth of his money. Right? Remember, where do we get that from? This concept of a fifth.
Wait, give him till a fifth of his
money. You give him 20%.
Of your money?
Yes, yes. If a poor person asks for money, you should give 20% of your earnings.
You okay? Like, let's say he's like, I want $100,000, you gotta give him $100,000?
Not that you have to give him $100,000, but if you have $100,000, you make $100,000 after taxes, okay, that you can use, and this honey needs $40,000 to get by, give him $20,000. Okay. Is the ideal. 10% is the minimum, 20% is the ideal. Okay? That's from the Gemara and Ketuvos that we saw earlier, Daf Nun Amud Aleph.
But you'll probably not have to follow this because everyone's a crack addict.
Or we have. Right. Not everyone's a crack addict, but if we're assuming that this person really needs the money, then yes, you would have to do it.
If
they're really going to use it for the right causes, and there were no other causes in the world. Reality is more complex, but we're just giving the principles now. Okay? And 10% is middle.
Okay.
If you give less than 10%, that's a bad eye. Hold on. Never give less than a third of a shekel, which is like virtually nothing. If you didn't give... If you give less than that, you didn't even fulfill the mitzvah. Even a poor person is chayav to give tzedakah. So my friend, I have a homeless friend, he has to give tzedakah.
Wait, what about, could he give to himself?
He should give primarily to himself. And he's not obligated to give meiser, not obligated to give 10%, with the medayik and the lashon of the Rambam. He doesn't have to give miser, but he does have to give something.
Wait, when does this give tzedakah? And you say
he has to give something.
When he gives himself?
He should also give to himself. But here we're referring to giving to other people. He has to give something to another person. It doesn't have to be a lot, but a Jew cannot live without giving.
And what was that about 10%?
20% maximum, 10% is...
Less than 10% is...
Less than 10% is being stingy. And not fulfilling this minog or mitzvah or halacha of meiser. Okay? Just to fill you in, it's unclear if that pasuk that we talked about with Yaakov Avinu is an asmachta and is only rabbinical. There's some sources that actually think there's a biblical idea of giving meiser 10%, and others think it's just a minog. Tachlis, most posts can believe it's rabbinical, and therefore we can be lenient in situations where, for example, a person's poor, doesn't have enough money to support his family, we can be lenient and find all sorts of other ways of spending that 10%. We'll talk about that soon.
Tzedakah. So, one, your average modern Orthodox Jew in the diaspora is sitting around, and they cannot afford Jewish education and are getting subsidies for Jewish education.
Right.
So you yourself are already a tzedakah case.
Exactly. You're right. You're right.
And then... So that's one, so we wouldn't really have to give so much tzedakah in the first place, because you're already down.
Yeah.
And also, I read somewhere, like, in like a text, that After the age of what in Judaism are you technically not your parents' responsibility?
Six?
13?
No, not 13. It's earlier.
So it depends for what.
So everything after the, like everything like there as in like you're supposed to teach them how to like be like independent by like the age of six or something like that?
Let's say, okay.
So after the age of six,
could that be considered tzedakah?
It is tzedakah.
Good.
After, if I have a 6-year-old son,
right,
and I teach him a trade,
absolutely,
he's not self-sufficient.
You're right.
If I now pay for him for schooling, that's my
absolutely
deduction.
Exactly.
I'm giving him way more than 20%.
You're right. You're right. So you both brought up two excellent modern examples. The Pnei Halacha talks about this. It's a leader in the source sheet, in the English part of the source sheet. I'll give you a quick answer. All things being equal, if a person is making enough money to get by and live a nice life without too much problems, he should give that 10% to other people, to preferably poor people who need money, to save people's lives. Perhaps Talmud Torah would be within that category.
Can you donate your time opposed to your money?
Hold on, we'll get to that after.
One
question at a time. I'll get to that. Okay. There are many examples nowadays when, especially because Jewish education is so expensive and seems to be a need in our culture, because otherwise kids will be totally off the derech. So if a person does not have the basic needs to pay for his tuition, you're right. He should first pay his tuition and then worry about saving the world and giving his money. And many people misprioritize and they'll, you know, be dependent on others and make the other people pay for them but spend money on other things. That's not right. And you're right. Therefore, many rabbis are lenient and say your tzedakah could be Jewish education and even spending money on your child once you're no longer responsible for them. Bidyeved could count as your miser obligations. Okay? You still would have a separate obligation to give tzedakah, but perhaps not 10%, perhaps just a little bit to others. Okay, in terms of giving of your time, absolutely. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that there's a concept not just of money, but every person should take whatever you're talented at, like we were talking about before, if it's music or lawyering or doctoring, and get. It's not. It's an addition. It's a different zach. Now, if you can't, if you're poor and you can't give money to Ed Tzedakah, so then you can.
Like, I'm a university student who has no money, so instead of giving tzedakah of money I don't have to send them out of food, I can just volunteer.
Yeah, you could work out a deal like that, theoretically.
I have what you call, a friend of mine, who's actually Dorian Khan's father. He's a big artist, and like he's very famous in the art world, and he feels that while he doesn't make so much money, he's a big thing in the art world, so he volunteers his time, so he'll spend a lot of time doing helping underprivileged kids with art, or he'll do some sort of thing with Jewish art, or
right,
like help shuls by doing volunteering projects.
Yeah.
And stuff like
that. Absolutely, absolutely. It's you know, if you can't afford the money, you find other ways to give. You know, even like chavruta, they say, like in your yeshiva, hopefully 90% of the time you're spending on times that you love learning, and you're developing yourself, and maybe 10% of the time you have a conversation with a kid who you don't really get that much from it, but you want to help him out. Or maybe you go to the rabbi who doesn't really have anyone go to shir, just to make the rabbi feel nice. I hope that isn't the case here, but if it is, thank you.
Because it's not going to be learning something you don't want to learn. Like, if you know you're going to be the Jew on campus, so now you learn a bunch of laws on kashrus because you know a bunch of people are going to make their kishon straight.
Yeah, you could definitely apply the concept. In fact, yesterday I asked Rav Nemitzel, I saw him at the Ramban, so I came up to him and I told him, if I have an hour free of the day when I'm not, should I learn Gemara or Halacha? That's what I asked him. He said Halacha. But at the same time, I do feel like I need, even though my primary...
Didn't that big rabbi tell you to learn Gemara, though?
Right. But I'll try to find a happy medium between both of them. I think Tachlis, you need to learn Halacha to know what you're doing as a Yid. But at the same time, our soul, as a Yid, needs Gemara. So I'm going to try to dedicate 10% of my time to learning Gemara. The other 90% on other things like Halacha and Chumash.
Or you could, you know, stag a panini and then just go into the sources. Lots of Gemara there.
Right. Yeah. Every person has to find the balance. Like, right now I was feeling a serious Gemara lacking in my life because I'm not teaching it, so I was like, I need to do Masechet, so that's why I'm finishing Sota. Yeah. But like, now that I finished Sota, I feel like maybe I'll take a break. And I have the whole summer, and I'm going to try to develop, like, do like a halacha project and also learn a little Gemara on the side. You have to make a schedule for yourself and just stick to it, whatever it is.
Do we not? I think we have halacha shiur now. Or are people not here?
This is halacha shiur.
I thought we're doing halacha kashrut. That's what.
No, so I made an exception because, fun to know, Or HaChaim deals with like Shabbos and the basic daily living. Yoredeya in the Shulchan Aruch deals with kashrus and tzedakah. So even though tzedakah is not really kashrus, since they're in the same section of the Shulchan Aruch, I made an exception and said I want to learn about tzedakah today.
Okay.
Seder.
Also, Rabbi, can I have the source sheet for the kashrut shiur?
Yeah, I just sent it to myself. I didn't have Elon's email, so at the end of the shiur, I'll send it both of you. Okay, but it's not much of a source sheet. It's
notes.
It's just a summary. It's just notes.
Okay.
Seder. Okay. Let's see.
Yoredeya.
Shulchan Aruch. Okay? We've done the Rambam. Let's learn Shulchan Aruch inside as much as possible. And yeah. Okay. Yoredeya Rishon and Aleph. If you're giving to your big children, that you're not chayiv to support them, exactly what Elon just asked about. In order so that they should learn Torah, go on the straight path. That's also considered tzedakah if you're giving to these to your children.
Is it past six or is it what's the age? Is it like a commentary, like from the past at the age?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure they do commentary. I'll get back to you on that one.
Then that counts as Meisr.
That could be as part of the Meisr. Lo'od elish tzarech lachdima lacharim. In fact, you should take care of your children before you take care of other people. Afilo ena beno velo ben aviv el krovo. And even if it's not your child, not your father, but your cousin, tzarech lachdima lachol adam, he also comes before, your family member comes before all people. And your uncle comes before your mother. Uncle from your mother's side. Your blood uncle comes before your non-blood uncle.
Okay.
And the ani of your house comes before the ani of your city. And the anis of your city comes before the ani of another city.
Your nation comes before the nations.
Hold on, let's keep going. Ramah. Vakvuim ba'ir kuim anir. Okay, and those who are always in the city, if you've been there for a long time, then you're considered the ani of your city. V'yoshei Eretz Yisrael kodem l'ashei chutzlaretz, and those in Eretz Yisrael come before those who live in chutzlaretz.
What about your city?
I can't even imagine such a scenario, but if someone was living in chutzlaretz.
Because the way it would seem is it's the relation to you. But would you say that you are closer related to someone who lives in Israel than someone who lives in Shmuzars?
It's a really good question. I'm not sure what the answer is. Does it come, if you live in Brooklyn, does Brooklyn come before Israel? There is an answer to that question, but I forget.
The answer is clear that there is no point where you ever satisfy all the poor of your city. Or all the poor of your
But you also, Tachlis, I think it comes down to balance. Where I think, especially when Israel is in need, or Israel bonds, or we should make it a part of our life to support Eretz Yisrael. That should be one of the tzedakahs on our list. But we also should make it a part of our life to support the people in whatever, in Manhattan, or in Toronto.
Poor Manhattan.
I think you should try to find a happy medium.
These guys in the Lower East Side are really not doing well.
Yeah, we need a lot of help.
Upper East Side, and Upper West Side, they're struggling,
And some people maybe. Okay. There are causes. Okay. Of course,
there. After the crash, a lot of people
Okay. Where did the Rambam get this from? Or where did Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Rambam, get this from? This order of precedence.
It's from Tanakh.
It's from the Chumash. That's one of the cool things about this shiur, that when you learn the pesukim inside, they are the essence. It's not like rabbinical decrees. They are the essence of the laws. Let's look back in source 3 in the Dvarim Perek Tes Vav. It says, "Kiyeh b'cha evyon me'achad achicha, from your brothers, be'achad sharecha, in your gates, be'artzecha, in the land of Israel." So I think it probably is your gates before the land of Israel. Asher Hashem Elokecha, Noten Lecha, which Hashem has given you. which is just an attitude shifter, right? Why am I giving tzedakah? Not because I'm a nice guy, but because whose money is the money really?
It's God's money.
It's Hashem's money. He gave it to you, man. So you're just a middleman. It's His money. You're just a dispenser.
You're just a vessel.
Okay? And then he talks about the outsider. So it's Beferish in the Pasuk that there's an order of who you give to. Okay? Of course, there's an exception to the rule. And what's an exception?
If someone's really needy.
If someone's dying on the streets, I'm not going to start being like, well, is it my brother, my cousin? Like, just save their life.
Trace his lineage.
Right? Obviously, these are just general rules. But, you know, there are specific situations when, you know, when your cousin's really in need and your brother's
does
like...
Does Mana count? Does Mana count as helping people of his own?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. In fact, one of my good friends is one of the chief fundraisers. Hatzalah and Oh, you met him. Eitan.
Is he a tour guide?
Were neither of you guys at Parnasat Atzmo Kodem L'Kol Adam? Your own money comes before other people's? I'm back in the Shulchan Aruch. V'eino chayv l'tet tzedakah ad she'yelo parnasato. You can't give tzedakah until you're poor. And then, of course, provide for your mother and father. If they're poor, because obviously kibbutz also apply, and because of tzedakah.
You shouldn't give money to your poor.
Don't give money to your poor.
I mean, if you're poor, you shouldn't give to other people. I mean, you should give a little bit, but you shouldn't give to the poor to the extent that you're... Right. And if your parents come before others, and they come before your children. Because you're obligated to keep it off. Even though you naturally want to give to your child more, I just read that in the Gemara in Sota, but nonetheless, you have to keep it off. You have Hakar Tatov, you have to give. And many people mess this up. They'll like, they don't want to spend time on their parents, and they'll send them to an old age home, even if, instead of caring for their parents, you know, when it's appropriate, and because it's too hard. But like, this is a basic thing. Maybe that last Mishmar we'll do about Kibbutz, because like you're going back. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
It's good. Just doing about the obligation of the Torah all the time.
That's also a good idea. So much stuff. We'll see. V'acher kach banav, v'hem kodin l'achiv, and then your children, and then your brother, v'hem kodin l'shakrav, and they come before your cousins, v'akrivim kodin l'shchanav, and your cousins before your neighbors. Okay. That. We already talked about that.
Do you have Kibbutz to your parents? Parents or grandparents?
There is, not to the same extent, but there is an element of keep it up with your grandparents and for your brother.
Because they're helping your parents
obligate brother. They were, and if not for them, where would we be? Kedek Salacha. You're there, Ramaz. Hatzdaka doched yadzeiros hakashas. If you give tzedakah, it wipes away the bad decrees, like the Mishnah we saw. Uveras tatil maven, and saves you from death. That's like we said, Shuvah Tefilah Tzedakah Mavirin Rog Zera V'Masher, and it makes you rich, like we saw in the Gemara in Tainus. It's a halacha, it's not a shkafik idea, it's a derma. V'Asher L'an Tzedakah 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 Tzedakah. The only time you're allowed to test God is in this mitzvah of Tzedakah.
Well, what does that mean, test God?
You're allowed to say, God, I'm giving Tzedakah on condition that you pay me back this money. And I want to see it in my bank account.
And you will see it.
But Ramosha Feinstein says something a little scary. He says, if you test God, he might test you back. So it means they'll give you tests.
Well, you know what? Let us only hope for tests.
You can hope for tests. I'm good. I'm okay. All right. Anyways, so the Ramah brings this down to Halacha L'Maisa. Many point out that the Shulchan Aruch does not.
You can look at the test and then like, test, right? You'd be like, yes, a test. Right. An opportunity to grow.
Ideally. Hopefully one day I'll make that up.
Test.
Yeah.
Somebody dies or something.
That'd be hard. I'm personally not looking forward to that. So the Ramah says we can test God. The Shulchan Aruch does not bring the Shulchan Aruch down, and therefore many Sephardim don't test God, but Ashkenazim can test God.
Wait, Rambam says that...
Rambam, I don't know if he talked about this. Who the Ramah, Ramosha Israelis, says, brings this Gemara that we saw in Tainus that you can test God. I'm not sure Halacha L'maisa, what's the difference, but it's just an interesting Halacha that the trivia... The only halacha you're allowed to test God on is, like, test me. Give a lot of tzedakah, I will pay you back.
It just makes a point about how serious you are about tzedakah.
It just shows, like, this is not a joke, guys. He's really going to pay you back. Like, give tzedakah. Don't worry about it. Really. Don't worry about it. Have the attitude of, like, just go out. Go crazy sometimes. You know who's really good at this? My wife. I'm a little stingy sometimes. Like, I like giving, but, like, to specific causes. Sometimes she just knows how to just go all out, like just buy a whole pie of pizza, just everyone have a great time. It's great.
Question about tzedakah. So there's, I know we're talking about like bare minimums, but like, let's just say you're working a full-time job to buy a new house, okay? You need to buy your, like, you need to get this house. And, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you're gonna make, like, the house is, like, let's just say, like, 10,000 check or whatever. Whatever, awesome, super cheap house.
Uh-huh.
And you're gonna make, like, 10,000 check. Would you, and, like, that's the only way you can pay for this house. Are you expected to give some of that 10,000 you make?
There's a concept. There's a concept that you could push off Meiser, and you could tell, oh, I need the money right now, but I'm writing it down, taking this seriously, and I will give it.
And I will give away 2,000 shekels.
Yeah, there is such a thing. So I think you can also be, listen, a person who is truly on the level of.
Then you wouldn't be in a spot to give tzedakah, but then again, God's gonna pay you back. So like, why not?
Right, but it didn't say he's gonna pay you back right away.
Exactly.
So if a person was truly on the highest level of emuna, I would say, yeah. Do it, you know.
That's blind
but I think for us humans,
it's like to be able to say like God, I expect is like you to return the money, is one thing. But to say like
now, this,
like it's the situation of being like it's the parking lot. Like God, have a parking spot. Nope, found one.
Right.
Thank you. Never mind. Like he gave you the way to pay for the means to pay for your house,
right?
And then you just gave it away
for people, for most people. But there are always some exceptional people. The Gemara says that since I forget which rabbi, it's in Sota, it's on my mind. So it's amazing, it's the best. So he says that since this rabbi died, we don't have Bali Amuna. We don't have people who are really on the level like Hillel. Oh, since Hillel Azakin, and we have a whole story where Hillel would always wait. Like he knew that cow would arrive Erev Shabbos. Because he had emunah, and because he had emunah, that brought, the more emunah we have, it brings things to life. But we have to be honest with ourselves.
Is there value to
if you're not there, you're not there. And most of us aren't there.
Is there value to fake emunah, though?
There isn't a value
to bring yourself to give it to that, even though you're not 100%.
I think there's a value, but everything has to be done with safe. Like, you have to ask your Rebbe about a specific situation. You know? You can't be pretending you're on a level you're not. If it's going to hurt other people, certainly. It all depends on the situation, you know? Like in Ushpizin. I mean, he had a lot of emunah, but, like, it wasn't cool. His wife was not going to be happy with that level. Although it did work out well in the end, so.
Did like, the robbers, like confidential?
They weren't the robbers, they were buddies. But, they used it as lemon zest.
Savior. Okay, Weiser. Next, scroll down to the bottom of the next Shulchan Aruch. We're in Ramat, source you bet. Gimel. You have to do it happily. Not it's a good thing. You have to. And I'm talking to myself. Sometimes I give tzedakah and I'm like, I'm in Ramat. I'm in source you bet. It's on the third page. And Gimel of your day. Tzarich l'tein tzedakah b'sefer panim yafot. You have to do it with a smile, man.
Sources seem to be repeating.
Where are we?
I know, but you only remember things when they repeat themselves. And that's, we're seeing the evolution of the halacha. So the Rambam says it is in the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk.
Yud bet is the, wait, Aleph? Aleph? You have to do it with a smile?
Do it with a smile. You got to do it with a smile. If you don't do tzedakah with a smile, you're not doing it right. V'simcha v'tuv levav. And you have to, if you see the poor person sad, stand there, hold his hand. Mamish or Shlomo is Rambam.
So it comes from Dvarim, then it's taken to the Shulchan Aruch from Dvarim?
Yeah, if Dvarim to the Rambam, and then the Rambam to the Shulchan Aruch. And then to the Shulchan Aruch, to Shlomo Karabach, who would sit with the Anim and hold their hands and play guitar with them under the bridge. And where do you get this concept? It's the Mufurish Rambam. It's not just about giving the money, it's about being with him. Like the holy black beggars who came to the funeral and were crying, our Rebbe's gone. And then the students of Shlomo said, don't worry, we'll support you. And they said, you think we want money? We don't want your money. We want a Rebbe to hold our hands and play music with us and no one else cares about us. And that's the truth of life. That was our Shlomo. Anyways, okay. Dalit, next halacha. If a poor person asks for money, you don't have anything to give him. Don't raise your voice. Appease him. Speak to him nicely. If you don't have money, don't brush him off. Speak to him nicely. Tell him, I wish I could give you. But I don't have enough money. I'm so sorry. And the Rama says it's usher to give him nothing. Even if all you can give him is a little date.
What if you don't have money? What if you don't know that he's like...
So then you can give him a smile. Give him a smile. But ideally, we should all have a little pocket. A little agura, you know, full of one check. Oh, is that, if we see
a poor person. We get it 5 times an hour.
I agree with you. You're right. You go to the Kotel, you're going to get...
Every day.
It's fine.
Well, we also discussed earlier that you are kind of... Mutar?
That there are... That
post... Because you're not so sure everyone's an actual tzedakah case. Earlier we said that if you don't give tzedakah... Then it's actually an avera,
right.
But because
you don't know for sure,
because there are so many people who lie, and because there are so many people who are dishonest, you're actually a mutar on that.
Right, exactly. But in an ideal sense, you should give to everyone. That should be our ideal. And okay, next, and a poor person should feel like I'm giving you this chus to give me a tzedakah. You didn't have to be embarrassed. Okay, hey, imachol is lasat lachirim shiinu. If you give it to someone else to give, schar gadol mischar notan. It's better than if you yourself give. If I give to Elon to give to Julian, it's better than if I give directly to Julian. Why?
You're correct. You can't see who gave it.
And
also, you gave me a mitzvah.
I gave you a mitzvah, and...
And Julian doesn't know where it's coming from.
And yeah, he's less embarrassed.
He's not embarrassed.
Exactly. And it's not coming... I'm not getting any, like, kishma... Like, I'm not getting that feeling of, like, I'm just giving.
Yeah, a big thing in the community...
Purely for the sake of
a big community thing is people will, before Shabbat, will go out and buy, like, bread and stuff, and we'll drop it, and then like it's like through the shul. So like there's like a fund, and people will drop it off at houses, and you don't. The person doesn't even know you dropped it off. Like they'll just come to the front door and like just leave there.
Awesome, amazing.
It's like a Joseph Klein. You heard of that?
Mm.
They did before Shabbos and before Big Chags. They bring like they put together like food baskets, and they before around Haredi houses, they just put like a big hood and they like knock on the door and run away.
Yeah, like, I have this idea. Maybe we should do it next year. We did it. Back in the day, we did it at a right that we would take all the leftover food and then repackage it really nicely with like a nice message. The problem is we didn't always have it and they became like dependent on us, and then some of them didn't trust the kashrus. So it's a funny story, but the point of like repackaging and making it look nice and giving to them with dignity, that would be like my ideal. Maybe next year we'll do that. We'll take the leftover food and we'll like repackage it nicely and give it to people in a really nice way. Okay, so good. Shmona Milas Yesh B'Tzedakah. There are 8 levels of tzedakah. This is a almost direct quote from the Rambam. Okay, but we're in Source Yud Bet, page 4, in Halacha Vav.
These are the different ways to give it.
The 8 highest levels. The 8 levels. Okay. The best is that you don't give a man a fish, you teach them to fish, you give them a gift that they will be able to support themselves, you get them a job. You find a way to get people dependent. Exactly. Also, one day I'd love to do that. I'd love to just go to people and really try to work hard to actually get them on their feet again and not just a little.
How could you do that?
And find them a job.
It's hard because a lot of them are crazy, but I don't know. We'd have to think of a creative way. Just maybe people just don't know how to get the job, but if you provided them.
The big issue is.
Or maybe make an organization that's run by beggars and you give them dignity and stuck
in the same. One of the biggest problems for these jobs is because they don't have cell phones, they can't. Put down a number so you can't get in contact with them. And they also don't have an email address. That was the whole big thing in Pursuit of Happiness. Like, yeah, like, there's like little, like, you ever see that movie?
Yeah. Pressing.
Like, his biggest issue was
he didn't
have a phone.
Right.
So once he got a phone, that opened him up to being able to get jobs. But until he had a phone, he was like, he couldn't do anything.
Right. Tech, we'll have to brainstorm together. Seriously, that's actually my life dream. I really wanted to start this, something like that. So one of these days, we should figure out a way to do it. Hold me to this. Okay, we'll brainstorm together. And then we'll have them make shidduchim. It'll be like the best of both worlds.
Oh, here's a whole new Rebbe. Julian will become a big doctor in New York. He'll make tons of money, tons of parnassa, and then he'll fund your tzedakah fund.
And then we'll do veggie bagging together, and we'll get guys and girls to meet each other and make shidduchim.
Why don't we have a program?
And you can stay in Chutz La'aretz while having a home here, so you can keep one day.
I'm actually going to get a different shidduch thing. Why don't we have a girls and a boys midrasha in yeshiva, which we learn separately, but we do everything together. We tell them it's like co-ed so that they want to be together more often.
I like
and
it.
And then instead of just not letting the girls hang out with the guys ever, we
let
them
like it
all the time.
I like it. It's unfortunate that nothing like that even remotely exists.
What do you mean? Okay.
Brought to you by Rabbi Abu. Anyway,
I actually, one of my dreams is to have so like when I make money in Chutzal, right? Or if like if I make Aliyah and then like commute back and forth, we don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Anyway, is he trying to like find like a big Talmud Chacham to support? Maybe like an Eretz Chanda guy and just like support him.
Find a big Talmud Chacham.
Okay, now I'm right. Weiser, great. Sounds awesome. Okay, Zulun Yisachar. Exactly. Pachot Mizeh, Anuten Tzaka Lani, Lo Yitem Limi Yitem. Little lower than this. You give tzedakah, but you don't even know who you're giving. Lo Yitem Ani Mimimuka, and the Ani doesn't know who he's receiving from. Bakar Bozeh, Anuten Lekuba Shal Tzaka. And similar to this, if you give to the Gabbai, to the Tzaka box. Lo Yitem Adam Lekuba Shal Tzaka, Ela Im Ken Yodesh, and Mune Alav, Nemar Yodeh, Linhog and Bakchur. But only give, obviously, if you know that the Gabbai is running it, knows how to give it to the proper places. And Benini Alocha says it's better to give to a Gabbai because they'll give to the right, especially in our days when there's so many, you don't know who's going what, give it to the Gabbai, he invests serious time into...
Or an organization.
I'm saying, or an organization that's thinking, like, giving smart, not just giving.
I should just give all my, you know, I should stop giving out to negotiate, I should just give my money to some organization that trains people.
Great idea. Or, seriously, or just get half a guru and give a hug... And a half a guru.
You can't give less than a shekel.
Yeah, that's
no, but that's not a third of a shekel back in the day.
That was a lot more.
No. He wasn't saying a third of a shekel at one time. He's saying at all. If the all the shekel you give your whole year is a third shekel.
Oh, I thought it was like walking by a homeless person giving them.
No. That's not what you're saying. Now, again, technically,
that'd be good mustard to misinterpret, like, for a community to be like, guys, don't give less than a third of a shekel.
Look, I do think it will be disrespectful. A lot of people will be insulted if you give them less than a third of a shekel.
Give them 3 cents. Yeah.
Wait, for all of your year, like, you shouldn't give less than a third of a shekel? Like, what?
No, if you don't give tzedakah, it's saying give tzedakah.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was saying, like, you can't give 30 a group.
No, I'd say there's a minimum. But they were dirt poor back in the day, so it's a totally different time. Like, to buy a candle for Shabbos is a big deal. You have to understand how people live. Okay. Pachol mizeh sheyodeh ani mimi notel. Less than that is that the ani knows from whom he's taking. V'lo yodeh anoten lemi noten, but I don't know who I'm giving to. There were people that would just throw it away, and they didn't know who they were giving to. U'bayim ani mimi noten, and the poor people would take. The best is, I give a poor person his hand. Kodem sheyishal, before he asks. Afterwards, you give him properly after he asks, even though he's a little embarrassed. Less than that is that you give to the poor person with a smile. And less than that is to give him with sadness.
Whoa, what's the difference between giving someone after he asks and giving someone with a smile?
He's saying if you're not able to give what he deserves, if you can only give him 10 agorot, but if you do it with a smile, that's okay. Better than that. That's higher than giving someone tzedakah, but with sadness. Even if you give him 10 shekel with sadness, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that's better to give with happiness, even a little bit. Okay? And nonetheless, don't get arrogant about the tzedakah you give, says Rama. Some people need a book. Big plaques. Okay, we want to put a big plaque, but don't make... We should make a practice out of being gaivadik about this, because that's what you're here to do. That's why you're in this world. That's why Hashem created the world. Okay. Mutar le-shechtav... Mishim achdish davar le-tzakar, mutar le-shechtav shumar alav she'ilo le-zikron v'olil le-sadken. So the Rama writes, quoting the Rashba, that if a person should really have a pinkas, a notebook, where he writes down how much tzedakah he's giving, and if he didn't have a chance to give tzedakah, he should write down I owe you, and he says that's a good idea, and a person should do that. In fact, there's even a halacha like by the Beit HaMikdash that if you even think, perhaps, but certainly if you verbalize that you're going to give tzedakah, you then have a degree of culpability and obligation to give tzedakah.
I heard of the thing that like whenever you're in a bad situation, I have a friend who, whenever she's in a bad situation, she'll say like, God, I just like I'm gonna give $10, I'm gonna give $10 to, like, and like she's fine.
The Mishlei says stakatato mimavet, not necessarily just physical death, but also death, and that's maybe part of the idea of the skula for Amar Binyamin, that a person says Hashem's everyone's blind until Hashem opens up your eyes and gives tzedakah, and Elon found his tefillin.
When does Rav Rosenfeld
officially? It ends in 1 minute, so I think we should
blast food.
We should do.
Get back on later on.
Yes, we'll continue another time. Let's see. There's one last Shulchan Aruch. Oh, Yudalit. This is a good one. Tov l'tem prutala ani l'kodem kol tefillah. It's good to give before you daven a little bit of tzedakah. Shenemar ani b'tzedek achazep anecha, and I will give it with righteousness, which we are darshaning with tzedakah. I will see your face. And the svara is that if I give to other people, then Hashem will want to give to me. And it's a big cycle of giving. So that's a beautiful thing to do. That's why we like to go around with the tzedakah box for tefillah. Seder, I bless us that this should not be halacha shir, but halacha lamaisa. We should go today, the next beggars we see, give them a smile, give them a hug.
Don't give them money.
And give them a little bit of money, I think, unless you know that he's going to use it for the wrong sources. And then think smartly, how can I allot my 10 to 20 to, if you're rich, 50, I don't know, percent of money. Right now, maybe most of us aren't making so much money, but now that we're going into the world of working and camp and whatever, we should start really making this a part of our life to give on a monthly basis. I recommend Meiser and Tzedakah. Shkaya. Shkaya, guys.
Rabbi.